Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the video
Resultados do primeiro
conference for
trimestre de
the earnings
2025
of the
da
first
Renon 4.
quarter of 25 of Renan Corp. I'd like to thank the presence of all the investors, analysts, and all the other participants that follow us this morning. Our event has simultaneous translation to English and sign language interpretation. To put your audio in English, you must click in the button Interpretation on the bottom bar of your screen. And to have the translator audio, select Mute Original Audio. This video conference is being recorded. The recording will be made available on our website for ri.renancorp.com website. In the screen, we bring the legal statements. The information in this video conference is not a guarantee of a performance, involves risks and uncertainties, it involves future events that depend on circumstances that can and not happen. In our today's agenda, we have the message from the president of Randon Corp, Daniel Randon, the highlights of the semester, presented by Paulo Prignatta, the detailing of the period mentioned by Stemann Angeletti, the perspectives for the next months brought by our CEO, Sérgio Carvalho. Finally, the Q&A session conducted by RI manager, Davi Basichetti, that will count on the participation of RI director, Emerson de Souza. To participate in the Q&A session, you must follow the guidance in the screen. Remember, you can indicate your participation anytime during the event. I pass the floor now to Daniel to start the presentations. Good morning, everyone. We start one more year excited with everything we've done and we still want to do at Randon Corp. You have followed the intense pace of relevant movement that we realized in the last few years, and the biggest one, without a doubt, was that the Dacomsa acquisition, a aftermarket in Mexico that has gained important results in the beginning of 25. The closing of the operation happened in January, the month where we concluded the acquisition of AXN, a North American manufacturer for axles and suspensions, and Delta Global, a company from a technology company that is part of our rounds. These companies came to reinforce even more the transformation of Randon Corp in a protagonist in mobility sector globally. With them, not only we access new geographies as we widen the diversification of our businesses, which is paramount to go through complex moments like the one we're going through, that will be explained later by our executives. The capturing of synergies should give us fruits in the next months and will contribute in an important manner in our future performance. And talking about what's to come, another movement that we announced in April that will strengthen even more our business middle long term is the strategic partnership of RANs with high growth funds of Patria Investimentos that will allow to accelerate our growth plan with greater digitalization, which is very important for this segment, increasing our sales channel. The transaction is in a process of being approved by the competent bodies. We expect a conclusion by November, December this year. Another announcement we had after the last earnings presentation was the change in governance at Randon Corp with the continuity of our succession plan. We are doing the transition of Sérgio Carvalho in a very constructive way. Our executive committee is well structured with a competent team in heading our businesses. September on, Sérgio will be our senior executive advisor. At the same time, me and Anderson Pontalti will take on new positions at Randon Corp at Fras-le Mobility. During the preparation of the presentation for earnings of the first quarter of 25, we showed our guidance, presented our guidance, our ordinary assembly, extraordinary assembly, in an event at Automac with investors. About guidance, I would like to mention that it's very realistic under the point of view that we have of the current market today. Sergio will detail this in his talk. Regarding the assembly, I would like to highlight the approval of all matters, the re-election of the administration board, and the changes of the raison social of the company. Now, Randon Corp S.A. with the brand we adopted 2 years ago. Finally, I finish my participation thanking the over 40 investors that participated in our event, investors at Automac. Moments like these, we are able to show that Randon Corp has solutions for several sectors of the economy and has increased its business in resilient segments like aftermarket. Despite this challenging scenario at the short term, we are convicted that our pillars are well established in a solid base. We are determined to advance this year, especially focused in the integration of new businesses, seeking synergies, reducing our leverage. I pass the floor now to Paulo for his presentation. Thank you, Daniel. Good day, everyone. To talk about the Randon Corp results, we need to highlight meaningful changes that we had in our business environment the beginning of this year. As you can see in the screen, the number of trucks in the first quarter of 25 are good and grew so much in production as well as sales. But what these numbers don't reveal is a change in the mix, which heavy trucks lost representativity with the other lines. This happened especially due to the increase of interest rate. Other factors continue to be positive, like a strong harvest of grains with a record harvest. This macroeconomic scenario has affected strongly the demand of trailers. Despite having a decrease of 15 to 16% in production and sales, if we focus only in the lines linked to agribusiness, the reduction is even higher, close to 40%. The volumes of the first quarter are being pulled, especially by the segment of industrial cargo, where we have a lot less exposition. We have the increase of aftermarket with workshops, increasing the circulant fleet, and a disfavorable environment to buy new vehicles and for exports for trailers with the uptake of sales in Argentina and Chile. Focusing on the international market in a broad way, the big point of attention, no doubt, are the uncertainties regarding the tariff policies. Currently, we understand that for Randon Corp, there are more opportunities to be explored than threats regarding this topic. But even at, like the rest of the world, we are paying attention to the unfolding of new changes can impact business. Starting with our main indicators now, I'd like to highlight that net revenue has increased in the quarter, supported especially by the new acquisitions and the heated demand for aftermarket. Steven will bring us more details later, but I'd like to highlight that we reached important milestones in this indicator that we're seeking for some time, the increase of representativity of international revenue from aftermarket in our business, strategic pillars of our growth. On the other hand, we had the impact of deacceleration of sales for agribusiness, penalizing especially the OEM vertical and update of ERP of this auto parts vertical and our partner Shredder. They impacted the dynamics of business, affecting not only revenue, but also the margins of this period. When we analyze the EBITDA margin adjusted, we see stability compared in the quarter. Even with the challenges that we face, the results of the companies acquired, especially Taconsa, that has a good level of cash generation and works in aftermarket, and the growth of international revenues that have greater profitability when compared to the domestic market also contributed for this indicator. Regarding the net results, we had a relevant reduction in the period. We didn't present the adjusted values for this indicator, but we would like to highlight the impact of a one-off, which is the last parcel of excess that affected in 70 million reais. Additionally, our financial result was affected negatively by interest rate currently and the increase of debt to finance our expansion, non-organic expansion. These factors aligned to a greater level of investment and affected also our ROIC. Going to liquid net debt, you can see in this plot the variation between the closing of 2024 and the first quarter of 2025. We had relevant capturing to acquire Tecomsa, AXN, and Delta this quarter, besides integralizing capital of Agenchi. The rest you can check in Chapter D of investments of our results or earnings. We had a greater need for cash working capital, especially in stocks. This happened due to two factors: the business model and distribution of the Tecomsa that demands higher availability of more ready products and a greater number of trailers in stock of the vertical OEM due to deceleration of its main sector where they act. These factors impacted our leverage that temporarily is higher, as you can see in this plot. I highlight that our financial covenants established a leverage of 3.5 the EBITDA of the last 12 months, being checked at the end of the exercise and considered a EBITDA pro forma of the acquisitions. When we calculate the leverage, we consider this premise. The indicator is 3.2 times. Adjusting EBITDA by one-offs, we get close to three times. I reinforce that one of the objectives this year is the reduction of our leverage, especially with the capturing of synergies and the integration of our units that are strong generators of cash. Now we bring to the screen some data about our debt. As you can see, the increase of interest rate influx and the total cost of the debt that today the majority is in domestic currency. We're working on several alternatives to improve the profile of our debt, like the increase of the average term and the reduction of average cost ponderated that we achieved this semester. I finish off my part bringing information about Randoncorp in capital market. Despite the valuation, the increase in our value for Frasle Mobility and make evident our valuation of our co-op buying plans with Compatria, our market cap had a reduction of 30% in this period, but our liquidity, average daily liquidity, increased to 5 million reais. Besides paying JCP January this year, deliberated in an assembly the paying of dividends in 15.3 million reais that will be started May 3rd. They have the right to receive the shareholders from April 30th. Now I pass the floor to Esteban. Good morning, everyone. I want to thank you for being with us in another video conference of Randoncorp. As Daniel and Paulo highlighted, up to now, we live an intense quarter full of relevant deliveries strategically, but very challenging in the business environment. I start bringing the information about our net revenue and the distribution per vertical. With the acquisition of Tecomsa, we had an important advance in the revenues of control of motion vertical, getting to the level of 40% of net revenue, as you can see in this plot in the screen. Second place in participation, we have vertical auto parts that has the revenue from the acquired companies like EBS and AXN. The OEM that used to be our main revenue is now in third position in the first quarter of 2025, a reflex of our growth strategy for all the other verticals and the market moment with a decrease in volume and a less favorable mix. And what we household that we bring in screen, we're bringing revenue per segment. In this quarter, we added over 450 million through new businesses, in majority in foreign market, the aftermarket industrial has increased, and agribusiness has been explained by Paulo. Analyzing now revenues of foreign market, we highlight the increase of representativity and total revenues. Over 30% of our revenue come from abroad, and our objective is to seek greater balance in the middle long term. What made possible this advance is, without a doubt, the acquisitions. We had other important factors in the quarter, like recovery of sales of trailers to Chile and Argentina, besides the continuity of delivery of the lot of order of Hercules, opening the representative of international foreign revenue per region. We see more than half comes from USMCA that counted from January on with the Consa Mexico and AXN USA. Another region that has grown a lot is EMEA, especially through the acquisitions of Juratek and EBS. The region of Mercosul in Chile, despite a decrease comparatively, has shown gradual recovery with recovery of Argentinian economy. Looking at the EBITDA of the first quarter of 25, we had an increase in nominal value in established margin. We had important factors during the semester that penalized EBITDA in R$85 million. Then turn the data on the screen are adjusted. See in the plot in the bottom, the origin of the generation of our cash first in relevance. We have vertical motion control, followed by auto parts and financial solutions and services. And causal, we see that we had important increments in revenue, but our margin in the OEM vertical suffers pressure by the decrease of its main market and a business environment that's more competitive, where there's not a lot of space for readjustment. Besides this, we have the new units of auto parts in Mogi Guaçu and ramp up forecast to finish in the fourth quarter of 25, and the margins should follow this gradual improvement as the volumes increase, which should lower the fixed cost for the operation. About the CBD, I say that inflation is stable in the period. An increase of specific prices in raw materials like aluminum and metallic goods. The comparison of this M&A is affected, especially by the addition of new businesses. I reinforce that we are very diligent to working with expenses and investments so we can advance in our profitability levels. To finish, I bring in the screen the value of investment comparing quarterly. As Daniel and Paulo mentioned, this was the quarter for relevant acquisitions represented in blue, light blue in the plot. Besides this, in CapEx, we continue to invest in the building of the sub-plant of Framax Energy for Framax and new units in Mogi Guaçu, and the efficiency of all our operations. We are prioritizing necessary investments, seeking to preserve our cash to reduce leverage. Now, I pass the floor to Sergio to talk about the perspectives for next months.
Thank you, Esteban. Good morning, everyone. As you saw with the talks of Daniel, Paulo, Esteban, in today's presentation, the year of 2025 will be a very challenging year. We are operating in a business environment that's quite complex in Brazil and abroad, where we have a lot of uncertainty. Interest rate that is high, increasing in the domestic market, tariff policies being changed in a meaningful magnitude in the international scenario. Several issues that end up impacting the normal pace, the usual pace of our business. With this, we are preparing Randoncorp in the last few years to go through these periods in a safer manner with more resilience. It's not by chance that today the aftermarket revenue is a lot higher than we had in the past. the material you received, we reported in this first quarter something like 46% of revenue of Randon Corp. In terms, global terms, they come from aftermarket. We understand that this segment brings this resilience that we're seeking. But for us to grow in aftermarket, we had relevant investments, which made us, in this moment, we have a peak in our leverage. We don't foresee more investments of this level in the short term. Our focus is now in integration, the capturing of synergies, the expansion of the synergies with the acquired companies, and the reduction of our leverage. So, Gustavo, next slide, please. So, in this context, you can see in the screen the numbers we have forecast for this year. Under our revenue, we believe we're going to close between 13 to 14.5 billion reais, and all of this supported, number one, by the addition of revenue coming from the acquisitions, non-organic movement, the good demand of the aftermarket segment, as well as a positive demand, a greater participation in the truck market with the operation of Suspensys and Caster Tech in the region of Mogi Guaçu. This number will not be higher due to the decrease of heavy vehicles and trailers linked to agribusiness, as Paulo mentioned, but showed an expressive decrease when we compare to the previous year. Regarding revenue from international market, we presented a great advance regarding compared to 24, and the main highlights are our expansion in North America with the Comsa, AXN, and the recovery in the segment base container market through Hercules, the increase of relevance of our revenue that come from European continent that also count with our company, EBS. And in the South American market, we see a gradual recovery of sales in Latin America, where Argentina is it has an economic stability. In Chile, it has a re-uptake or is re-uptake of trailers, and the adjusted margin is inside the guidance gap in the first quarter, and we believe we can seek margins similar to last year in the current year. Regarding investments, we have a moment of austerity. According to the current moment and the forecast, we have the conclusion of Mogi Guaçu unit and investments in gaining productivity and efficiency. All of the numbers obtained in the first quarter of 25 regarding the guidance indicators are very much aligned with what we forecast for the period. Now I've finished the presentations part and I pass the floor to Caroline so we can start our Q&A session. Thank you, Sergio, and the executives that had their presentations. We will start now our Q&A session. Can you hear me? Oh, yes. So we're going to start our Q&A session now. You can participate following the guidance in the screen. Our first question of today comes from Gabriel Chinin from Santander. Good morning, Gabriel. You may ask your question now. Good morning. Thank you for the space. Two questions from my side. The first focused in the segment of trailers as a whole. I know that the market has gone through a complicated moment, the demand impacted by high interest rate, new competition. On your side, can you give us more details? What are the initiatives that you're working on, especially for gaining efficiency, operational improvement, and the timing also issue, if you can mention when we would see these improvements? Second point focused on the earn out of Hercules. Can you explain this transaction, if there is a pen of values that are pending, or what would demand new investments, anything that would demand new investments? That's it. Thank you for the questions. First, I will hand it to Esteban. It's important to highlight the year that we see the trailer market with higher difficulty. We are not halted. We're doing many actions in the company. Esteban can detail this. And Paulo, can you give us more details about the earnout of Hercules? Esteban, first with you.
Thank you, David. Thank you for the team for participating in this video conference. Thank you for the question. It's important to give context to the OEM of trailers segment as a whole. We're going through a moment of not having a decrease in volume, 15 to 20%, but mainly maintaining, if there is continuity, the change of the mix to a less favorable mix for our product portfolio. We're talking about, when we look at family of products, those products that are destined for agro, the dump truck and dump trailer and the grain trailer, these decrease even higher. What sustains the market volume for this drop to be slower or lower? The products destined for industrial cargo to retail, where we naturally don't have as much competitivity. With this, we have two separations here. When we look at market, we have the understanding that assets that are running for agro, transporting agro, they have a higher use rate because the harvest is good, so they're probably having heavy usage, more intense use, so they will suffer more wear if they don't want to renew to save money or to avoid higher leverage. Once the interest rate comes down, we should have a double impact in volume due to a renewal that was retained for longer. Then he will have to do the renewal in an accelerated manner, be the expansion of fleet. We've seen this scenario in 2018, 2019, 2020, after 3 years where the market was not selling, not even enough for the renewal of fleet. We ended up having 3 years with volumes that are a lot higher than previous 3 years. From the point of view of the market, we do believe we see a possibility of recovery motivated by this. On the point of view of what we do from inside, we have initiatives in all fronts, be it product, process, and structure also. We're doing the adjustment, especially in the point of fixed cost, to go to this smaller volume and tighter margins. But we also move product and process, so when the volumes come, we're even more competitive. And the proof of this is, despite all this perfect storm, especially from the OEM part in the first quarter, we are able to preserve a positive EBITDA, something that in other moments in the company we would not have the same situation. Finally, I finish mentioning, we showed in the presentation, but this revenue share of OEM naturally decreased less than one fourth of the consolidated net revenue, given we have a higher growth of the other verticals, but also the lower volume of domestic market. We believe that as the market recovers, if we put in practice the initiatives for improving efficiency, OEM will represent a higher level of revenue. Unfortunately, we cannot be exact when it will happen because it depends on the market also. But I can guarantee that everything that's inside we're doing in the first moment, a higher operational expense due to the adjustment. But the idea is that we can have better performance in the short term. Now, earnout of Hercules. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Well, perfect.
Guys, thank you so much for being with us in this Q&A. Gabriel, thank you for your question about this topic of earnout of Hercules. This value is part of the value what is owed to the sellers due to the acquisition, and I can affirm it's a final installment, so we don't have any more payments to do. So this amount is due to the EBITDA of Hercules. Not the year after acquisition, November 23, in 24, we paid the first installment of the earnout that was forecasted. It was the amount initially mentioned in the transaction. And in the financial demonstrations of 24, we highlighted that the negotiation was still ongoing. So it could mean additional values in the following period. So the conclusion of the negotiation happening now in 25. We got to consensus between the parties with the liquidation of the additional installment of $18 million, as I mentioned, the final installment. Seeing that this happened after the accounting of the investment in 22, the reflex of the additional have to impact the current exercise of the company following technical guidance PC 15. I hope I clarified this point as you asked. Perfect, guys. Super clear. Thank you. Thank you for your question. Let's go now to the next participation of Kiefer Kennedy, analyst of Citi. Kiefer, you may ask your question. Good morning. Thank you for listening to my question. I have two. First, about cash generation. You mentioned now in the presentations something regarding this, but with this first quarter, with the leverage is 3 times, close to three, considering EBITDA with the acquisition, I want to understand how you're thinking the scenario for 25. We have interest rate that is high compared to main geographies. This increases the cost of the debt as a whole. What are the main leverages that you see for the year of 25, given the operational context of the business units not in the best moment? I want to understand what you're thinking about this. And the second question is regarding, you talked about the earnout. But if you can give us details about the EBITDA, these numbers, from what you mentioned, this was measured from 22 to 23, right? So now we are in 25. Over a year has gone, the end of the exercise that you accounted for this earnout. Then at the end of last year, in the ETR, you mentioned this negotiation was still open, but once again, it was already a year after the finishing of that moment of the accounting moment. It's not very clear for me this point. I want to understand more details because last year was a year still bad year for trailer market in the United States. And when we do the math regarding the initial price of acquisition, considering the earnout, it's twice the initial value. So since we don't have a lot of information of the process and you have all the information on a lot more of the negotiation, I would like more details about what was the final negotiation, what was the EBITDA of Hercules in the moment taken into account so we can understand the final value of acquisition. Thank you. Thank you, Kiefer, for your questions. In the beginning of this year, we talked in the first quarter that we have a peak of leverage, a higher leverage than we are used to presenting due to the movements that we did, obviously, but Paulo can bring more details of the main focus that we have this year of unleveraging the company this year. And after, Paulo, since you brought initially the talk about the earnout, can you please give more information and answer Kiefer's question regarding EBITDA and the timing that we had with the payments of the earnout? Very well, Kiefer, thank you so much for your question. And in fact, you are right to raise this. Regarding leverage, we can guarantee to you that historically, we always were very disciplined in the finance point of view. This year, we have to be more disciplined this with management of cost, organic capex management, and cash working capital management. This leverage was already foreseen. It would increase due to the important acquisitions that were aligned in our strategy. So this year, we will really focus in the capturing of synergies of these companies that we recently acquired. In the given right moment, we can share with you all of the synergies that are being captured, be it in the supply side, be it optimization of the structure, or be it in opportunities for working capital. Besides this, according to what we have showed you already, we have the operation announced through Patria. So we're selling our participation in our side of co-op payment plans. These are resources that will come to the company around 180 million reais. And the forecast is this should happen in the last quarter of the current year. Regarding the topic of the earnout, it's valid to rescue some aspects, important aspects. The price of acquisition of Hercules had two elements: the fixed price that was paid in 22 and the earnout based on the positive variation of EBITDA after the closure of 22 and what was verified the 12 months after the closing of October 23. This was the period where the North American market was very good. And of course, especially in discussion, calculation of earnout, many times you can have doubt understanding both parties. For this reason, last year we paid what we understood as being the value that we owed. And also we reinforced that there were an ongoing negotiation with the other party. And it's something that was extended and has been concluded now, April 25. So this parcel that was paid in April 25, after the understanding of both parties, is the last installment, the final installment, and it was recorded in the committee in the current exercise. Great. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your participation. Let's go now to the next question from Gabriel Rezende, analyst of Itaú BBA. Good morning, Gabriel. You may ask your question. Thank you, Caroline. Thank you, guys. Thank you for the space. 2 points from our side in Itaú also. If you can mention a bit about the expectation of profitability of parts for the next semester. We saw margin close to 12% in this quarter. You talked about the negative impact in the first quarter, but I want to confirm if you can see a better level now of profitability in the second quarter. And then also connecting to Frasley's presentation yesterday, we talked in Frasley's call. Frasley could be two or three times or below this. How do you see this level, the conversion of the group as a whole? Obviously, seeing we know there's uncertainty this year. Interest rate is fluctuating, and exchange rate is fluctuating. How do you see the level by the end of the year? That would be great. Thank you. Thank you, Gabriel, for your questions. Esteban, I'll start with you to detail not only the auto part margin in the first quarter, but what we expect for the next months. And Paulo, following, talking about leverage and Kiefer's question before, if you can bring the other elements, considering also Fras-le that has higher leverage with the Dacomsa's acquisition and how it speaks to consolidated leverage. Esteban can start and then Paulo. Thank you, David. Thank you, Gabriel, for being on the call for your question. Well, auto part margin in the first quarter was pressured. We talked about this in the release. We had internal and external factors. Looking at external factors, we're talking about an important client that demands a meaningful volume of this vertical, updating his system and interrupting his production temporarily. And we also had market factors that, despite the production volume presenting, sales and production was not affected meaningfully. But when we look at the component of the families themselves, that family where we are have more exposure, which is heavies, this has a meaningful drop, which ends up impacting volume and fixed cost in this vertical. When we add to these fa external factors, the internal factor, which is especially the ramp up of our units in Mogi Guaçu, Suspensys, and Castertech, we end up delivering this margin, which is a bit below that usual margin for this vertical that transits between 14 to 16%. Then, yes, once again, analogy with the OEM vertical in-house, we're acting to have this ramp up as fast as possible. And with this, have the fixed cost dilution. Once again, in the first quarter, we have the expenses of the new operation. It's not in an ideal level of profitability and production yet, but we have in the plan that according to the increase of the value that's invoiced, we have the lower. We lower the fixed cost. And bringing another update, we have the first revenue of Mercedes with the front axle supply, and Suspensys is also doing this invoice. They have a ramp up in the plant. Castertech also has their revenue. They reached break even in the first semester, and with the higher volume now, it should improve profitability of this vertical as a whole. I pass the floor to Paulo to talk about the expected leverage. Gabriel, good morning. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for your question. Well, regarding leverage, we reported exactly pro forma without the one-off events and the EBITDA of the acquired companies, we are already below, a bit below 3x the EBITDA. So our expectation for this year of 25 would be to get to the last quarter with a leverage between 2 to 3x the EBITDA. In other words, we are forecasting this additional reduction, especially due to the initiatives of working capitals, capturing synergies, and to the following terms. Then we retake, redo
do our work to be between one to two times the EBITDA. We're capturing the synergies and with our financial discipline. This is clear. Thank you, Paulo and Esteban. Have a great day. Thank you once again for your participation, Gabriel. Now we go to the next question from Lucas Laghi, analyst of XP. Good morning, Lucas. You may ask your question.
Good morning. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, guys. Thank you for the space. I have a question aligned to what Paulo was saying regarding the group valuation as a whole. We saw the movement with Patria for the operation of insurance and the co-op payment plan. If we look at the co-op payment plan, it's a mature asset in terms of profit that the operation generates. Macro, despite not helping in the current valuation of the group as a whole, thinking more, what do you see in terms of opportunities inside the asset portfolio of the company to unlock value? The operation with Patria would be an example for the financial part here, but thinking, do you have other alternatives to unlock value that you see in your asset portfolio in Randon to mitigate this hard macro situation? We share your vision. You remove Fras-le, remove insurance and co-op payment plan. It seems too much discount, but this installment is pressured in the short term by interest rate and the hard macro environment. So thinking more, what could be done, thinking about the asset portfolio to unlock values? I don't know if you talk about buyback. It would be hard to think about this in terms of leverage, but is this something you might think about for the future? I want to understand your mindset regarding these points. Thank you.
Thank you, Laghi, for your question. Nice question. We've done this work of evaluate so much so we had this deal with Patria, very relevant and different of the usual deals that we hold. I'm going to pass to Paulo so you can comment a bit. If we have worked and thought about other similar alternatives, and Esteban, feel free to add also.
Thank you. Lucas, thank you so much for your participation, for your question. This topic is recurring. Our role is to always have the help of our partner banks analyzing alternatives of capital allocation. Regarding the valuation itself of Randon, in fact, it doesn't reflect the true value of this asset. And this clearly is defined through what would be the current market versus the consensus of market that points to a value that is almost twice the price that it is currently. So regarding buyback shares, we're not doing it, seeing that we had to make a choice. The choice was to conclude the M&A projects. So it's not in our radar. This would increase, given that it would increase our leverage even more. So it wouldn't be the case to do so. And we're always paying attention in a right moment in case something, opportunity happens or pops up, we would share it with you. I would add, Lucas, that in this moment, despite obviously having this concern of showing the market value to the market, the value of the company to the market, we are obviously very much concentrated to capture the synergies. This is one of the best ways we can show this market value to the market to really translate the planning in deliveries, in the execution of our results.
This is clear, Esteban. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Next question now from Luiza from Safra Bank. She's an analyst of Safra Bank. Go ahead with your question. Good morning. Thank you for this space. Still in the discussion about the mix that's has exposure to agro. Do you have an intention, a project to change the mix a bit, considering that the other lines offset it a bit, the drop? And another question about ROIC, ROIC. I want to understand if you have a target ROIC with the acquisitions and what are the leverages to reach this number. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your question, Lou. I'm going to hand both to Steven to talk about the portfolio issue. You know that agri business has 60 to 70% of the demand. And it's a different moment. Currently, agri is a bit slower. And let's see if there's a perspective to change this or change the portfolio. And also about ROIC. We know that there were a lot of one-offs affecting our indicators, that the normalization of this should be higher. We can have more details about this also. Nice, Luisa. About implements, it's important to say we have the biggest diversity and the biggest family of products, considering that agri the last few years is 60 to 70% of our revenue in this vertical. Specifically, it's natural that we were concentrated higher investment in the product development that are more efficient in this family of products for agribusiness. This change in the mix makes us also look at other family of products. Traditionally, we have a good tank to transport liquids, and now we focus also in the development and improvement of products for the industry and retail. Despite this, our agility and speed, these are investments that take time to become mature and to go to market and to bring a benefit. But I can assure, and the moment is, yes, to think about innovative ideas for the other family of products also. I'll give you an example. 2015, in a low market moment, we had a relevant change in our dump trailer, the material of the dump trailer to make it lighter. It wasn't used a lot in agri business, and it ended up using for agri business, and we had a better position in this segment with this. Obviously, we use having a CTR in-house, we can do tests, but the go-to-market and translate into revenue takes time for this to happen. Talking about ROIC, this quarter we had impacts in the denominator and the numerator, and it's a perfect storm for this indicator due to the fact that we had a meaningful increase in invested capital, so increase of LCG of the acquired companies, be it stock and raw material. But we must remember that we had an increase of capital invested in Mogi Guaçu, Suspensys, and Castor Tech that still not impacting or contributing the return indicator, the profitability. So this is a fact that as we gain scale in this unit, working also in the reduction of the common denominator and the working capital applied, the trend is that we should improve the indicator. Regarding the target, we want a ROIC spread that's positive, higher than the cost of capital. I can't detail the target, but obviously our concern is to generate value, yes, for shareholders and society as a whole. Great, thank you. Thank you, Luisa. Let's go to the next question from Andressa Varotto, analyst at UBS. Good morning. You may ask your question. Good morning. Thank you for answering my question. I want to talk about two points that you mentioned quickly. First, regarding the OEM, in the release, you talk about dynamic competition. I want more details of what you see in terms of movement of the competitors. The challenging dynamics. That price, passing on price is hard. And the other point is regarding Hercules and tariff and volatility issue in the US. Hercules, you forecast that with the order of last year and deliveries this year, there would be an improvement. I think these tariffs impact the North American macro, delaying investments. I want to know if you feel this already in terms of new orders for Hercules or not. Thank you. Thank you for your question. First part is Stefan can answer to add to his previous answer about the implements. And the other, Sergio, can you talk about not only Hercules, but since you're in the US and you had rounds with associations, bringing the vision of the tariff issue, how it impacts not only Hercules, but our other businesses and the North American market. In parallel, this speaks to José Altero's question in writing, asking, how is the capturing of synergies in the new companies? Since we have AXN in the North American market and the Consa in Mexico, if you can mention this answer also about tariffs in the North American market. Thank you. Hi, Andres. Thank you for your question. In this quarter, our OEM vertical is 1/4 of revenue, but it's important to mention this. The competitive scenario is more challenging because the majority of the competition increased the capacity the last few years. And also, in the end of the year, they have a stock of ready products that pressures price. So you imagine with ready product stock, Selic rate 14 to 15% hurting working capital. We need to think, and it happens, a high pressure in price. I highlight that we have faced this price pressure, keeping our market share as leaders, even so we sustain a EBITDA margin that is positive. This is due all the adjustment that was made in the past or diligence, maintaining a tight belt in the period, even in a period that had higher volumes. And also now the continuity of the adjustment so we can go through this period of pressured prices. Regarding competitive environment, we know that the moment of lower volumes helps to clean out the market. In other words, we also believe that some competitors will end up exiting. They won't have the capacity, the financial capacity to go through the period. And in a revamp moment, like we had in 1819, in a revamp moment, we see some competitors became stronger, which was our case. We benefit from this higher volume due to renew and fleet expansion also. I hope I answered your question, and now I pass the floor to Sergio to talk about the North American scenario and capturing of synergies. Thank you, Esteban. Thank you so much for your question. First part of your question, talking a bit about Hercules and our contract, the big contract with this customer in anticipation to possible tariffs and risks. What our Hercules did, they anticipated the acquiring of raw material in such a fashion that for this year of 2025, the risk that we have with the big contract that we're working on and producing for, the economic risk associated to this, the exposure we have to inflation coming from this moment in North America is very small. We acquired a lot of raw material, anticipating overall we're protected. We have exposure, yes, but very little. This is, I guess that answers part of your question. As Steven said, I'm in the United States in this moment. I am part of an entity, relevant entity in the United States that has is dealing with the U.S. government in the topic regarding tariffs. And there's no topic that's more relevant being discussed currently here. And the reality is that the uncertainties, the volatility is so high that it's hard to make any affirmation without running the risk of being excessively punctual and not having a complete view of the consequences. But what we know is that there is an objective by the government to foster manufacturing inside the United States, number one. Number two, to disconnect from China. These are the two declared objectives officially. Tariffs to Canada, to Mexico, to Brazil, steel tariffs, aluminium tariffs, reciprocity of tariffs, all of this is bringing stagnation. All the investments, all the activities in the North American market are in a halt, so there's more visibility about what will happen. And yesterday's event, a big transporter used the expression, I apologize. He was driving with fog, a lot of fog, and he couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. His objective is to continue to move vehicles, but very concerned, very much with a lot of concern and care, because you don't know, well, where all of this is going to end. We have information from different sectors where they have dismissals, the volumes are decreasing, the supply is going to be affected in the next 30 days. We have stops due to lack of product. This type of situation is being designed or forecasted with the current situation. With all of this, this is repeating something that was said in other meetings. If Brazil can maintain itself with, let's say, 10% tariffs, but only, we will have more opportunities for Randon Corp, and we see more opportunity than risk. So the part of aftermarket, and we're preparing for this. We're in Mexico. 95% of what we do in Mexico stays in Mexico. Therefore, we don't have an immediate risk. Only 5% is exports, the majority to the United States. But those that feed the aftermarket segment in the United States is Chinese, is China. If the China doesn't feed the North American market for the recent acquisition of the Consa, this is a huge opportunity for us, for Fremark also, and for auto parts. This, yes, can represent a huge opportunity. So today we see more opportunities for us than risks, but we don't know what's the end of the game. AXN that we just acquired had a plan to do a domestic integration. So they are anticipating this plan to have a higher domestic control. So the acquired companies in the United States, Hercules is doing very well. We have very good results this year. It has gone through a decrease last year. The fact that they did this adjustment, big adjustment last year, Even with bad winds, the expectation is that in the segment that they act, they will have more consistent volumes. AXN performing well with their higher integration plans, more local content, and the opportunities. Many companies of ours working very hard with opportunities to feed the North American market even more. Perfect. Thank you for your answers. Thank you for your participation, Andressa. Let's go to the last question of today from Marcelo Motta, analyst of JP. Good morning, Marcelo. You may ask your question. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for answering my question. Very quick, can you comment the tax issue? You mentioned a press release that you're activating that loss. This is why you're able to reduce the effective aliquota. We want to understand a bit, how long do you think this effect will impact, and do we see the end of the impact, yes or no? Thank you, Mota, for your question. Paulo, you can answer this about effective aliquota. Mota, thank you for your question. Thank you for your participation. In fact, this quarter, there was an effective aliquota that was lower for two reasons. First, as we explained in the results of 24, we went through a period without recognizing the diferido, deferred, and the last quarter last year, we recognized, so there was accumulation. The first quarter, this effect of the expense of the earnout of Hercules had a positive counterpoint on the tax, impacting positively the aliquota. So in fact, the fiscal loss is continue will be continue to be recognized. The earnout effect of Hercules is positive, but it's something very specific for this quarter. Oh, very clear now. Thank you. Thank you, Mota. Thank you, everyone that asked the questions for today's call. We want to thank the executive committee members that are not present now as speakers, but are online, and Randoncorp family. And now I pass the floor to Daniel to finish the event. Well, once again, I want to thank all the investors, analysts present on this call. I'd like to reinforce the work that the executive committee and the Randoncorp colleagues have done so we can continue in a very cautious moment in this volatile moment. Our concern with North America, especially in this moment, the deals between US and China, but also we see this with opportunities that Randoncorp has worked on. We believe that Brazil has a lot of competitiveness in this scenario compared to other regions. We reinforce the work to pay attention to opportunities and reducing our leverage, that we're working to have better results for the next quarters. We are available on our RI website. Any question you might have that we didn't answer in this call, you can ask in the website. Thank you. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you so much, guys.